Welcome to the Capital News. I am your host, Alex Caritas. Today is December 11th, 2019. Thank you so much for joining me. Title of today's podcast, A Race to the Bottom. I like these titles I come up with every now and again because it leaves you guessing. What are we talking about here today? Is it in relation to the economy? Are we in the midst of another global currency war where it would be a race to the bottom? Is it our body politic? Who can go even lower, the Democrats or the Republicans or President Donald J. Trump? What are we talking about? Maybe it's all of them, all of the above, and that's exactly what it is. And it is a sad state of affairs when that's the case, when that's the environment in which we find ourselves. The economy, politics, business, education, everything seems to be a race to the bottom for some reason. Today, the Federal Open Market Committee of the Federal Reserve met for the last time of 2019. Their decision on interest rates, don't change a thing. Let's just keep it going. Let's just sit back and wait a while and see what happens. No surprise here. This is what markets were anticipating. We were in agreement with what the markets were anticipating. This is on the back of three interest rate cuts earlier this year, beginning in July. We talked about this briefly yesterday. We talk about this all the time, because this is market-making news. This has a direct effect on you, whether you believe it or not, because it does. The money in your pocket has value. These guys at the Federal Reserve and in the federal government are trying to debase and devalue your currency. We call it inflation. That's exactly what they're doing. It takes more dollars to buy the same amount of goods. That's what they give you. And you get very little, if anything, in return for this present. And inflation, as they like to say, is a tax that you don't pay for. And how true is that? So the Federal Reserve keeps interest rates on hold. Jay Powell, the chairman of the Federal Reserve, gave his typical press conference following the decision. You know, I really wish these reporters had some backbone when it came to asking Jay Powell some tough questions. I mean, 90%, maybe 95%, oh, heck with it. 99% of the questions are softball questions. There's nothing that throws him on his heels, makes him take a deep breath and say, oh my goodness, how am I going to answer this one? And the 1% of tough questions, if you can even call him that, he dances around them. Nobody presses this man, who is one of the most powerful men in the world, because global markets sit on pins and needles awaiting what comes out of his mouth. That's something you would expect in a dictatorship. Waiting for a king or a queen to say something. Waiting for an emperor to say something. That's not how it's supposed to work here, folks. They want to do it elsewhere? They shouldn't, but you know what? That's their business. That's their business. That's their decision. Here in the United States, this type of game doesn't belong here. That's why you have to abolish the Federal Reserve. This is not free market capitalism. This is a centrally planned economy. We spoke here yesterday that the money in your pocket is 50% of every transaction that you make, because you're trading those dollars for goods or services. So your dollars are 50% of the transaction, and whatever you're purchasing is the other 50% of that transaction. So the Federal Reserve, in one form or another, has a major effect on all of trade, all of commerce. And then who has to get their greasy little fingers in this mix? None other than the government. And typically at all levels, federal, state, and local. So it's just fantastic, isn't it? What a rat race. What a hamster wheel we're all on. It's not good. It's not good. So one of the interesting things that I thought in this press conference was the fact that for some reason, Jay Powell brought up 4% inflation. I don't know why he brought it up. I mean, was it something that they were discussing behind closed doors and it just sort of slipped out? I mean, he meant to say it, but 4%? I mean, it's sort of a head scratcher. Are you saying, Jay, hint, hint, wink, wink, that you're going to tolerate 4% inflation, that we're going to have to see at least 4% inflation by the official number before you guys even think about hiking or increasing interest rates? Because what happened today, ladies and gentlemen, the moral of today's story from the Federal Reserve is it's going to take a hell of a lot for them to increase interest rates once again. There's virtually nobody predicting that the Federal Reserve will increase interest rates throughout the entirety of 2020. Now, 2020 also happens to be a presidential election year. And we already know that Thunder Thumbs does not like higher interest rates. He loves low interest rates. He knew they were a problem when he was candidate Trump, but now that he's President Trump, he loves low interest rates. He loves the bubble. He loves the fake economy. These are the words he used when he was a candidate, and he was right. Now he's president, and this is the greatest economy we've ever had. A little bit two-faced, if you ask me. Which one does he believe? Does he care? I care, and so should you, because this affects you. You know, you might think you're smart enough to time this market. Well, good luck. Good luck, because I'm not smart enough to time this market. That's why I tell you to stay diversified and stay vigilant here on a daily basis. So Thunder Thumbs is not going to like it if the Federal Reserve should actually increase interest rates. He might not even be happy that they kept them on hold at this meeting and that they're likely to keep them on hold for the entirety of 2020. Because remember, the Federal Reserve wants to claim that they are independent, that they are above all of the politics, that they don't take orders from politicians, most definitely not the President of the United States, despite the fact that Donald Trump has been crying and whining to get lower interest rates and quantitative easing. And lo and behold, that's exactly what the Federal Reserve is doing and has been doing since July. And now they have been putting the pedal to the metal when it comes to quantitative easing once again, although we're not supposed to call it that, and the repo markets, the overnight lending, and even term repo, which basically means they're offering short-term loans, I think for about a month, month and a half. Forgive me if I'm wrong on that data. But they're putting the pedal to the metal. We got stocks at all-time highs. Donald Trump likes to talk about the stock market. So if he increases interest rates next year, the Federal Reserve, that is, will the markets panic? Probably, because this economy is so fragile, we can't even tolerate 2% inflate or 2% federal funds rate. That's what tanked the stock market last year. Oh, it's a panic. We have such a vibrant economy. But if we have 2% interest, oh no, nobody can afford that. No. Can't do that. We got to cut interest rates. We got to get them back down, Jay. Come on, what are you doing, man? Get it together. Keep this bubble going. Ladies and gentlemen, the further they inflate this bubble, the more devastating the collapse, the correction, whatever you want to call it, will be. And good luck if you're on the wrong side of the trade, because that initial down leg will be devastating. I mean, recall, folks, it was only a year ago where we lost 20% over the course of about a month and a half. That's how quickly it can hit you. You say, oh, well, what do I do? Do I stay in? Is it going to come back up? What do I do? If we get some sort of repeat of that, and I'm not saying it has to happen or that it's going to happen this month, it could happen next year, maybe we skip it altogether. Maybe they throw so much liquidity at this market, not just the Federal Reserve, but other central banks, which they're already doing. But if they all really put the pedal to the metal, then maybe we can avert some type of correction. That's very, very unhealthy. But this is a completely perverted system. It's completely decoupled from the fundamentals. We have manufacturing in contraction, transports in contraction, retail in contraction. List goes on and on. It's not good. And don't forget, folks, because we don't forget here at the Capital News, when it comes to that fabulous unemployment figure, recall that the Bureau of Labor Statistics, who calculates unemployment amongst other statistics, has already claimed earlier this year that they have overstated the amount of job creation by at least 500,000. And that has yet to be taken into consideration with their calculation. It's my understanding that correction is going to take place in the February jobs report. So we're only a couple months away from getting this correction. Are the markets going to be expecting this? Are they going to be anticipating this? I remember this. How many market pundits and analysts remember this on Bloomberg or Fox Business or CNBC or anywhere else for that matter? I remember. Now it's going to be interesting to see if they stay true to that, and they do correct, or if somehow it just goes missing. Oh, there is no massive correction. Everything has been counted properly. Now we're going to have to pay attention to that, because that'll be a big undoing, because it'll shock everybody unless, you know, as we get closer to that date, you start to hear that coming up in the financial media. So we're up to pay, you know, keep our eyes and ears open to see what happens over the next month and a half or so, because that's big, because that'll say, uh-oh, people must be laying people off. People must be getting the axe. Margins must be getting squeezed. We already know this is the case. But that's not the game that's being played on the financial mainstream media. That's not the game that's being played by Donald Trump in the White House and many in the Republican Party who are attempting, obviously, to support President Trump. I'm here to give you guys the facts and the truth. You know, when it comes to transports, there was a big truck liner, freight liner, who just filed for bankruptcy the other day, Celadon, C-E-L-A-D-O-N. I know I've seen their trucks around. I think about 3,000 jobs are at stake. Remember, folks, transports lead. They lead. They're a leading economic indicator. And I imagine, oh, probably next week or within a week and a half, we're going to have the November report out from Cass Freight. So we'll get the Cass Freight index figures up here to see if that deterioration is continuing and if it is accelerating. That is what I am anticipating that it will be doing. And that's going to be very telling to see how that carries through the first quarter of 2020. If those numbers, at least in my opinion and analysis at this juncture, if those numbers on the Cass Freight index continue to deteriorate through the first quarter of 2020, I think it's pretty safe to say that a recession is on the horizon, if we're not even in one by then, technically speaking. Because remember, we're not going to know until afterwards, because it takes a while for that data to come out. And then you have all of the revisions that take place as well. So you could technically be in a recession, but then it's not going to be officially announced, perhaps as long as a year later. Back in the great financial crisis, the recession officially began in December of 2007, but the National Bureau of Economic Research, who calls the recessions officially, didn't make the call until the following year. I believe it was December of 2008, one full year after the recession actually began, was it officially called. So we are going to be in a recession before one is actually called. Now, of course, many of you are going to be aware of this because you're going to know what's going on with your neighbors, what's going on with your communities, what's going on with some of the bigger cities around you. You're going to feel it personally. Or you're going to have family or friends across the country sharing stories, all this, that, and the other. You're going to know it. Will the financial media tell you? Will the president tell you? Probably not, because this is, of course, you got to keep up the narrative that this is the greatest economy ever. There's no leadership anywhere, folks. The only leadership that exists, in my opinion, is the people that take to the streets in all of these protests globally, standing up for themselves and their families and their countries and saying enough is enough. We're tired of the inflation. We're tired of the abuse and corruption. We're tired of all of this manipulation. Those type of protests will be coming to a theater near you. Believe me when I tell you. I'm hopeful that they will, because that's what it's going to take, because there's no leadership in Washington, D.C., in either party who is standing up to this. Because we have other data out today when it comes to last month's monthly budget deficit. Of course, it's a deficit. There's no way it was going to be a surplus. So for the first 2 months of the fiscal year, we are now on track to, I believe, hit a deficit of $1.2 trillion. $1.2 trillion if we maintain this pace through the remainder of the fiscal government year. Not good, folks. It's not boomtown. You don't have those types of deficits. You shouldn't have any deficit, but you should definitely not have trillion-dollar deficits if you have a booming economy. Not even close. So I'm still sort of scratching my head with Jay Powell when it comes to that 4% inflation figure. I mean, we've talked about them saying, they being the Federal Reserve saying, that they're okay if inflation goes up a little bit above 2% because, well, we're trying to be symmetrical. We can tolerate some higher inflation if need be because we've tolerated lower inflation for a while. It was below 2% for so long. Now it can be a little bit above 2% for a while. And we can tolerate that. But 4%? 4%? Where does that come from? 4%? So as you can imagine, the dollar got whacked today. It got whacked against a broad basket of currencies. And depending on what currency we're talking about, there's a little bit of recovery right now at the time of this podcast. But nevertheless, it got whacked. Will that continue? Because nothing is static. We live in a very dynamic environment. So are other countries and other central banks, are they going to tolerate this? Oh, no, we can't have the dollar weakening against our currency. We got to go even lower now, too. Is it a race to the bottom? Is it getting back to zero interest rates? Not just here in the United States, but around the world. Some places are already there. Some places are in negative interest rate territory. And remember, Thunder Thumbs wants negative interest rates. He wants your money. He said it himself. So what happened in the stock market today? We got the Dow Jones Industrial Average relatively flat, only up 22 points. The S&P 500 gained 11 points, up 0.3%. The NASDAQ 100 gained 55 points, an increase of about 0.2%. The time of this podcast, we have the Japanese markets up 0.2%. The Shanghai, the Chinese composite, is down 0.3%. The Aussie, the Australian market, is down about 0.5%, and that's probably on the back of the fact that the Australian currency, the Aussie dollar, rallied against the U.S. dollar. So there was probably some give and take there, which leads me to my previous point. Will the Reserve Bank of Australia tolerate that? Time will tell. I imagine that they will continue cutting rates, especially if my analysis and prediction of China really slowing down comes to fruition. That will mean big ripple waves for New Zealand, for Australia, for really the rest of the world, but specifically some of those countries in that region who are highly dependent on a growing and vibrant China. We got Europe, a mixed bag, but pretty much positive for the day. On the commodities front, we have crude oil sitting at $59 a barrel. That's WTI. The international metric Brent is at $64 a barrel. On the back of the weaker dollar today, gold and silver rallied a little bit. We got gold at $1,477 an ounce. Silver right now is at $16.84. And Uncle Sam's 10-year treasury is now yielding 1.8%. So we'll see what happens here. Are we going to get a reversal in yields? We have Jeffrey Gundlach, the manager of Double Line Capital, one of the individuals who I follow and somebody I will cite here. I only do that with a handful of people on this podcast because I only really follow and listen to a handful of people when they speak up. And Jeffrey Gundlach, he is known in the media as the Bond King. It's not a title that he really wants, but that's what the media does. Obviously, they got to hype everything up. He is saying his models are predicting that the 10-year U.S. Treasury should be at 2%, not at 1.8%. So for that yield to get up, there's going to have to be selling of the bonds. Because remember, bonds, the price of a bond and its corresponding yield are inversely related. So if there's selling of the bond, the price goes down and the yield goes up. So according to Jeffrey Gundlach, he is anticipating by some of his models that the U.S. 10-year Treasury should be sitting at 2%. My goodness, 2%? We can't have that. Not on the 10-year. So much in our economy is linked to the 10-year. Mortgages, auto loans, and so many other loans. 2% federal funds rate, we can't have that at 2%. It's got to stay at 1.75, 1.5%. We can't have this nonsense. We can't have these shenanigans going on out there. Don't they know that? So what does that mean if yields spike? That means the Federal Reserve might have to get involved. And instead of buying short-term bills, 1 month, 3 months, 6 month bills, they're going to have to go further out onto the curve, which we discussed yesterday. They're going to have to go out and buy 2-year notes. They're going to have to go out there and buy 10-year notes. Why? Bid up the price, get the yield down. Can't have these yields getting out of control. Just can't do it. That's why this is a race to the bottom. How far down are they going to go? I have no idea. That's why yesterday's podcast was, are we at the edge of the abyss? Are we staring into the abyss? Is that where we find ourselves? I think so. So that's some of the market performance. That's the Federal Reserve's decision. Tomorrow, the Brits are going to the polls to vote in their general election. We'll keep you updated on that. Anticipation, of course, is that the Conservative Party will remain in power. What that means for Brexit, we have no idea because it's been 3.5 years going on for next June, and there is very little progress at all. A lot of uncertainty. The politicking, regardless of the outcome tomorrow, it's going to remain. It's going to remain. It's not going to go away just because there was a general election. But that's how politicians are. They say, all right, let's finally have a general election and then we'll let this solve it. Well, if they don't get their way, they're going to cry foul. They're going to go crying to mommy and they're going to whine because that's what politicians do. There's no leadership. There's no accountability. But nevertheless, the Brits are voting tomorrow. We'll keep you posted on those updates. I imagine there'll probably be some volatility in the market one way or the other within the probably within the euro, within the British pound, and all of the subsequent stock markets as well. We have an impeachment vote coming up this evening. We had some of the debate in the House Judiciary Committee. That was a long, long debate. You know, a lot of political grandstanding. This is sort of the last hurrah before this goes to a vote. And in all likelihood, Donald J. Trump will be impeached. This will pretty much come down on party lines. There might be a few Democrats who abandon ship and say, nope, we're not going to impeach. But for the most part, this is going to come down on party lines. And President Donald J. Trump is going to be impeached. This is not a happy day for our republic. It's not. You know, if Donald Trump has exculpatory evidence, if he has witnesses who can, you know, provide that testimony on his behalf for him, or just with what they know, then it should have been released. But what we do know, as far as I'm concerned, is problematic. And it does need to be remedied because it cannot happen again. You can't play these games getting foreign countries involved in our elections in one form or another. You just can't do it. We've gone through that. You want to find my analysis and my opinion on these things? Go back to various podcasts. They're all there. You can find them on our website, The Capital News, or on our YouTube channel, The Capital News as well. You can find them. They are there. But I do think there's enough evidence, unfortunately, at this juncture, because there's nothing competing, because the witnesses that could perhaps compete with the witnesses that have thus far testified, they have not. Mike Pence has not testified, Rick Perry, Mike Pompeo, John Bolton, Mick Mulvaney, even Donald Trump himself. These individuals who would have firsthand knowledge, Rudy Giuliani, have not testified. So if they have exculpatory evidence, it should have been made known. Could have ended this whole thing that has obviously turned into a circus. It doesn't mean that it's not right that they hold this president to account, because he does need to be held to account. Because these types of actions needed to be investigated. The phone call itself, to me, did not and does not rise to an impeachable offense. But it's not just the phone call, folks. That's why Donald Trump just said, focus on the phone call. Focus on the phone call. Don't ask any questions. Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. Don't ask what my personal attorney, Rudy Giuliani, is doing for me, globetrotting all over the place. Don't ask what he's been doing over there in Ukraine. Don't ask why he was brought up on that phone call. Don't ask other questions that led up to this phone call. Just assume that on July 25th of 2019, Donald J. Trump picked up the telephone with no plan, no background, nothing, to call up President Zelensky of the Ukraine. That, of course, did not happen. There was a plan. There was things that were to be discussed. We know this. This is in the record. The facts are not looking good for President Trump. But he evidently wants a trial, and he wants a show trial. However, Donald Trump is not in control of the Senate. That goes to Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell of Kentucky. Mitch McConnell does not want a show trial. He does not want a made-for-TV event. He wants it to be low-key. He wants it to be quick. At least that's what's being portrayed or reported out there in the media. I would think that makes sense. Donald Trump likes all the attention. Mitch McConnell, nah, not too much of a showboat. Wants things to just continue on, get some other things done, get a lot of business that needs to be taken care of. So we'll see what happens. I mean, I imagine that it's going to be a circus, but it's not as if, you know, you're going to have senators up there asking a whole bunch of questions, because they're not. They're jurors. They're going to sit there and they're just going to listen to whatever the process is. And we'll find out what the process is here shortly. Unless, of course, there is a big surprise and this does not move to impeachment, but that would be a big shocker to me if it does not. So I am, again, anticipating that Donald Trump will be impeached. What happens in the Senate remains an unknown, but we, of course, will keep you updated on that progress. U.S.-China trade war. Have to bring it up, folks. My apologies, but we have to because it continues. And there's a major decision that needs to be made by Sunday evening, December 15th. Donald Trump has given himself a deadline for more tariffs to be placed on additional Chinese goods. December 15th is that date. We don't know what he's going to do. He can postpone them, he can cancel them, or he can let them come into effect. Now, we know Donald Trump pays a lot of attention to the stock market, even though he comes out and says that he doesn't. I don't know how he could come out and make that claim, but he has no relationship with the truth, evidently. Or it's a very poor relationship with the truth, if he has one at all. So he comes out the other day, a week or so ago, and says, I don't even pay attention to the stock market. I have your Twitter account feed. Yes, we know that you're obsessed with the stock market. Not to mention how many times you've probably made those comments out loud to the media or at a rally somewhere. Oh, my goodness. You're beside yourself. I don't even know what to say. How can you make that statement? But he did. Okay, he did. So we know he pays attention to the stock market. We know it's his baby. It's his precious stock market. It cannot take a hit. It cannot go down. Unless, of course, he is positioned on the short side of things. If he's telling his people, short the market, I know what I'm going to do, go do your thing. I'm hoping this isn't the case because that's insider trading. It's manipulation to the highest degree. Cannot happen. That in and of itself should be investigated as far as I'm concerned. That most definitely sets an extremely dangerous precedent. And that is something that is most definitely impeachable and removable as far as I'm concerned. Because the president should not be concerning himself with the stock market and talking about it. It's not his job. The presidency is a very powerful position. When he speaks, it carries a lot of weight. And he knows this. And he knows this. So it all depends on what Donny Boy wants. If he wants the stock market to keep going up, well, maybe he'll postpone them. Or maybe he'll say, yep, we're canceled. We got a deal coming. But, you know, you got that timeline. You got that red line in the sand. You got that threat. And if you back down without having something of substance on the other side, well, China's going to know you're just a big ball of dough. You're just a soft boy. That's all you are. Because if you're going to threaten to break somebody's legs and they cross that red line, might suck, but guess what? You got to break their legs. Well, that's what we have here. We have a line drawn in the sand. We have tariffs that are supposed to go into effect on the 15th of December, only a few days away. Where's the deal? We were told 2 months ago, yes, 2 months ago, people, back in October, that there was a phase one deal. All we got to do is sign it. There is no phase one deal. There was no signing ceremony. And earlier this week and over the weekend, we had the Chinese attempting to take control of the narrative and say, yeah, I think the tariffs are going to be rolled back. At least these new ones are going to be canceled, and then some of the ones that are already in effect, some of those are going to be rolled back as well. And then you have Larry Kudlow come out and Peter Navarro come out and say, oh no, they're not taking control of this narrative. What do you mean taking control of the narrative? You mean the propaganda. That would be the better word. The propaganda. The BS. Coming out of Washington, D.C. and Beijing. That's all this is. We're being jerked around. This is a big game. That's all this is. There's no truth telling here. Just got to prime the pump. Got to keep the stock market going up at all costs. Got to make up funny economic numbers because the first casualty in any war, whether it be a hot war, a cold war, or a trade war, is the truth. Is the truth. It's the first casualty. So what's Donny Boy going to do? What is he going to place first? The stock market? A deal? The actual right thing to do for the country? What's he going to put first? If history is any indicator, he's going to put first the stock market, which means he's going to back down from placing tariffs. Because at this juncture, unless there is really an 11th hour deal, There's nothing. There's nothing. Because to my knowledge, we have not sent a delegation over to China, and China has not sent a delegation over to the United States. So are these just phone calls that all of these major points for this miraculous phase one deal? Is that all we're going to get? A phase one deal? I mean, I'm still beside myself on that. What does that even mean? They're going to go back to buying soybeans and pork bellies? Really? That's it? How many tariffs are still going to be in effect? Because you cannot remove them. Stick in the carrot, you cannot remove the stick. You can't dangle a carrot if you don't have the stick. So Tariff Man can't remove them, or he'll look incredibly weak. So this is a big game of chicken. Who's going to get cooked? That's the question. Because even if there is a deal, a phase one deal, it's not going to be of great substance. And can you trust the Chinese? And can the Chinese trust President Trump to follow through with whatever's agreed to? I mean, we most definitely cannot trust the Chinese. That's a no-brainer. Unfortunately, it's pretty much a no-brainer that you can't trust Donald Trump either, because you don't know what he's going to do. All goes back to credibility. What is he going to do? Is he going to stick with it? Is he going to make something up for political purpose? Is he going to say, oh, China backed away, when maybe in fact they didn't? I don't know. I don't know. And this is what happens when you lie and exaggerate and embellish all the time on everything. You can't even just admit to the people that you focus on the stock market. You have to say, I don't even pay attention to it. It's no big deal. Give me a break. It's just a small example, but it's an important one. And we can go down the list, but I don't want to pretend to be MSNBC here because that's not who I am. We call it down the middle. We call balls and strikes. I'm not a Democrat. I'm not a Republican. Hold them all to account. Truth and justice, especially justice, it's supposed to be blind. Doesn't matter if they're a Republican or a Democrat, black, white, man, woman, Donald Trump, Barack Obama, the Bushes, the Clintons, makes no difference. Go after all of them. It's the only way we'll get away from a race to the bottom. Will we ever recuperate from this? In time, but it's going to take a long time. There's going to take some real leadership here in the United States and globally to really put in place a system that works for everybody. We already had it here once. It's called free market capitalism and a constitutional republic. A race to the bottom, folks. Stay diversified, stay vigilant, and stay with the Capital News. Please like, share, subscribe. Get the word out and leave your comments. We do love hearing from you. This is the Capital News. I am Alex Caritas. Godspeed.